Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, good morning. Good morning. When I get nervous, I tend to repeat myself. But this is kind of my first time speaking to such a large group, and I'm really excited, and it's an honor to do this, but if you'd bear with me, because it could be interesting. But before we jump in to what I feel God has for us, I would just like to open up with a word of prayer. So if you bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you for today and all the blessings you have for us, Lord, especially with communion, Lord. I thank you for the cross, for forgiving us of our sins, Lord. And I'd pray that you would open up our eyes today, open up our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us. And I pray that we would keep in mind what you have in store for us this morning as well, like that we would not stay the same, that we would get to the place with you where you want us to be at the end of the service, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen. All right, well, as I kind of said in my prayer, I feel when you come to church or even when you just spend time with God that you don't leave his presence in the same way. You don't stay in the same spot. It's a progression. You kind of move forward. And oftentimes, things get in the way of that. We don't always progress. We don't always keep going to the same spot. Not necessarily we back up, but we don't go forward. And to start out this morning, I would like to look at a scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. But before I read it, I like to give a little bit of the context. This is King David feels to build a temple for the Lord. But the Lord tells him, no, I want you to pass it on to your son Solomon so that he can build the temple. And I feel there's a parallel there for God giving the responsibility to us to build the temple, which we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, to build us up so that when we do spend time with him, he gives us the words to build us up in faith with him, to progress us, to keep building us up. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 9 says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." I really like that verse. Just saying. But when we spend time with God and we look to progress and we look to get closer to God, like I said before, things get in the way. We just lose focus, whether we don't spend the time with him or whether when we do spend the time with him, we kind of rush it so we can get to the next thing to do in our busy lives. And all the things around us kind of distract us from it. Now, I think in this verse, David knew about that and building the temple. He knew he gave Solomon instructions to help him focus on building the temple. And I feel those instructions apply to us when we are spending time with God, when we are going throughout our lives, when we are supposed to build the temple. And it starts in this verse. I'm just going to kind of break it down a little bit. He starts saying, acknowledge the God of your father. Going throughout our lives, I mean, we know he's there. We know he's in our lives. We know he created the earth and all that. But do we really acknowledge him? Do we really focus on him throughout our lives? Everything that we do, is he always in the back of our minds? Are we always, am I thinking about him when I'm playing softball? I mean, small things like that, just even going grocery shopping. Are we thinking about acknowledging him Are we open to the opportunities he has around us to serve him, which is the next one, and serve him wholeheartedly, with wholehearted devotion, and with a willing mind. Do we, throughout our day, like, do we think of the opportunities to serve him? Like, do we just let the moments pass by? Like, I know when I'm walking around doing whatever, I don't really, all of a sudden I think, oh, wait, I could have done that. I could have talked to that person about God. I could have helped them out, just done an act of kindness for them, to help them out, to serve God with wholehearted devotion. That means we don't give our heart away to anything else. Our heart is completely set aside for him and serving him. It's not, well, I'm going to serve God, but I'm also going to be over here doing my main focus on gaining wealth, or my main focus is getting so many likes on my Facebook status, or, you know, all that stuff that we just seem to find so much more important than serving. It reminds me of a story that I heard once about this young man. He was just kind of new to the real world, just kind of starting out fresh, just out of college. And he sees this older man, and he knows this man as one of the most successful men ever. He's just extremely rich. He has money. He has fame, all that stuff. And he goes up to him and says, I want you to teach me how to be as successful as you. I want you to show me the secrets of your success. And the old man says, all right, meet me at the beach tomorrow morning. Be there bright and early, 5 a.m., whatever it is, 5, yeah. And this young man is like, okay, you know, he's all excited. He goes home. He can barely sleep because, you know, he's about to learn how to be the most successful man in the world or whatever, one of the most successful men. And so he gets up early, you know, dressed for success, gets his nice suit on, nice tie and everything. And goes to the beach and sees the old man standing just by the edge of the water. And he walks up to him. He says, all right, I'm here. And the old man says, okay, follow me. And he starts walking in the water. And the young man's starting to think, this guy's crazy. Maybe I should just leave. You know, I'm not going to go walk into the water. I got this nice suit on. Should have brought a swimming suit instead. But anyway, he's like, well, if this guy's the most successful guy, obviously he knows what he's doing. So he starts following him into the water. You know, they're getting a little deeper, getting a little deeper. They get about waist deep, and now he's just thinking, all right, this is crazy. I came here to learn how to be successful, not be a lifeguard. I mean, this is just ridiculous. But the old man turns to him and says, you want to learn how to be successful? And he's like, yeah. He's like, all right, keep following me. Now they get about chest deep, and the old man stops and turns to the young man and says to him, you want to learn how to be successful? He just keeps asking him that. And he's like, yes, I do. That's why I'm here. That's why I followed you so deep into the water, even though I'm wearing this nice suit. And he's like, okay. So the old man grabs him and shoves him under the water. Okay. And he's just holding him down. He's not letting him back up. And the young man's fighting, kicking. You know, he's doing everything he can to get air. I mean, it's just, he's going to die if he holds him underneath there. And he's about to pass out, you know, so the fighting's getting less. And he's just, you know, about to just pass out underneath the water. And the old man can feel it, and he lifts him up. And when he lifts him up, he says to him, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. Now, I heard this during my basketball season. So, I mean, you could see the parallel with basketball, competitiveness. But I thought of it beyond that. Do we want that closeness with God as bad as we want to breathe? Do we want God in our lives as bad as we want to breathe? Do we want him so bad that we are willing to acknowledge God, serve him wholehearted devotion, and with a willing mind? Are we willing to go through life just completely devoted to him, wholeheartedly, not giving our heart to anything else, not letting anything else stand in the way? Not, like, the things that come in between us are just, you know, pathetic. Like, oh, that new truck, I'm going to work, I'm going to take double hours, I'm going to overtime just so I could get enough money to buy that truck, just so I can look cool next time I go to a deer hunting or something, you know, or a tractor pull or something, you know, I look good. But in that time that you spend in double hours, you could have been on your knees seeking the Lord. Do we read more gossip? Sorry, not gossip. Truths or holy writings on Facebook more than we read the Bible? Do we read more of that garbage? Because honestly, that's what it is. Facebook is not a social network. It's just gossip network. And, I mean, do these things that we just focus on and get between us and God are not worth it in the end, because if we forsake the Lord, he will reject us, as it says in this verse. He will reject you forever if you forsake him. But if you acknowledge God and serve with a wholehearted devotion, with a willing mind, the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive and thought, that when we seek him, we can find him. So when we spend the time to seek him and get close to God, he will come close to us and we will find him. When we serve wholehearted devotion and willing mind and acknowledge him as God. It's how bad do we want it? How bad do we want it? And that's not just, I mean, yes, he searches inside of us and every heart and every motive that it would be for real. But how do we show it? Are we just going to, do we just sit back and just watch and say, well, the Lord can reach me where I'm at? Or are we going to be on our knees? Or are we going to go to the front? Or are we going to go when we're at home? Are we going to just spend a little time to put away everything else and just seek God, no matter what it is? Are we actually like showing it? How bad do we want it? Are we showing how bad we want it? It reminds me of a time where something got in the way between me and God, and I'll share it with you guys. Is from when I was really, really little. I fell in love at a very young age. At a very young age, and it's still to this day, I would say I still love it, but not as much. It's kind of maintained now. But I fell in love with the game of basketball. That's, you know, awesome. Just saying, basketball is incredible. Best sport on the planet. But I used to be so obsessed. Starting freshman year, because that's when basketball really started getting serious, because, you know, now you got a chance to be on varsity. You know, it's for real now. So I would spend, my days, starting in the fall. I joined cross country, which I didn't even care about. It was to get in shape for basketball, because I was thinking about basketball all during cross country. And then it would just mess up my days. When I'd go to school, I wouldn't be able to eat in the morning because I was too tired, because the night before I was up till 2:30 watching basketball videos on YouTube of my favorite players. One of my favorite players goes down the lane. I remember this video. This is one of my favorite videos. I've seen it hundreds of times. LeBron James dribbling, crosses over, goes around. He's coming down the lane. Kevin Garnett, unfortunately, I love KG too, but unfortunately he just got in the way of the best player in the NBA. And then Paul Pierce comes over, and it's like, oh no, not you, Paul Pierce. And then LeBron just goes up, 1 foot takeoff, throws down over both of them, and it's in the playoffs, and everybody's freaking out, and you just hear the commentator saying, no regard for human life. And I'm just like, oh, if only somebody could say that about me when I'm on the court, but I can't I can't really jump that high. So, but he just goes up and throws down over these two guys, or just, I wanted to be him so bad. LeBron James, the king. They call him King James. That's one of his nicknames, or the chosen one. He has it tattooed on his back. I could probably tell you every one of his tattoos, but I won't bore you with that. But I just wanted to be him so bad. He was number 23 at Cleveland, and then he left Cleveland, which people say he left in a bad way, but oh well, you know, great guy like that. Doesn't matter. Can overlook those small things. But he goes to Miami, and he's number six now. And so now all I want to be is number six. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want to wear a jersey, number six on it? Come on. Miami, world champions. But see, you got to get a good name on the back. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I can dream, can't I? Yeah, I wear that around my house. No, I don't. It's hanging above my bed, actually. Still, yeah. But I was just so obsessed. And then I wouldn't be able to eat in the mornings. So then I would go to school, and I would catch a snack, you know, sometime during the day. And then lunchtime came. And I don't know, some of you maybe could attest to this. Some of the people I've gone to school with. I would go to the lunchroom. Sometimes I'd stay in there and just eat and hang out with people. But most of the time, I'd sit down, open up my lunch that my mom packed for me all 4 years awesomely. And she doesn't know this, but I would open it up. I'd grab my sandwich. And as I'm eating it with one hand, I would take all the other stuff and throw it to people at the table. I wouldn't even eat it. And I'd eat my sandwich within like a minute and a half or 2 minutes. And this was basketball season. This wasn't all year round, but basketball was mostly all year for me. But anyway, and so I'm eating it one, and I'm just shoving it in my mouth. I'm not even talking to people. I'm just throwing it to people. And then I grab the juice, throw away my stuff in the trash. I'd sit at the table next to the trash can, so it was easiest. Throw my trash, grab my juice box, boom. Throw it in the trash, and I'm in the gym. And I would play for the rest of lunch. My lunch consisted of 2 minutes. Of eating and drinking, and then the other half an hour was in the gym playing basketball, and then I would stay after the bell rang as long as I could without being late for the next class. But, you know, that's just how it was. And then I'd go through the rest of my classes, which I wouldn't even pay attention in because I'm sitting there drawing basketball plays in my notebook, dreaming about being LeBron. And if one of my basketball buddies was in that class, it was even worse. Me and him would just sit back there and talk about NBA or... Oh, what are we going to do for practice? Oh, I hate that drill and all this stuff. And then I go to practice, play basketball, stay a little bit afterwards, go home, pop in two movies that I used to watch. Well, one's a movie, one's a DVD. The DVD I have is called High School Phenoms. It's Kevin Garnett's high school McDonald's All-American game. And I would put that in, and I would watch it literally five times a night. Like, as soon as it was over, I'd hit repeat. I could tell you, I would always pause it at this moment to go grab a snack while I was doing my math. At 3 minutes and 3 seconds left in the first half, the game is tied 47-47. That's how much I've watched that. Or I would watch the movie Glory Road, which I can quote the whole thing. But yeah, I was absolutely obsessed with basketball, not to mention the Nerf hoops I've gone through. At least 10 to 15 Nerf hoops. Now they finally smartened up and we bought like a fiberglass backboard with the metal rim and the spring. So now I can just ream on it all day. But it has a tendency to put a hole in the wall when you open the door. So, you know, I'm not sure. Hole in the wall or Nerf, I don't know. But I was just absolutely obsessed. And now that kind of I realized it this past year in the spring after basketball was over, that it's a problem. I mean, basketball is not the problem. It's okay for me to just enjoy and, you know, play it and have fun with it. But when my relationship with basketball compares to my relationship with God, then there's a problem. That I didn't acknowledge God, I didn't serve him wholeheartedly, because my heart was given away to basketball. It was just, I wasn't focusing on God. I wasn't spending the time with him when I should have been. I was spending my time memorizing plays or watching LeBron James dunk over Kevin Garnett and the Celtics. Yeah, good times. No regard for human life. Oh, just so good. But serving wholeheartedly. And I wasn't doing that. And another verse that pops to my head is Matthew 22, chapter 22, verse 37. You can turn there if you want. I'm just going to read it quick. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Now I read that and I think, that's how my life should be. But if you read the verse from my life, it was love basketball, your idol, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's how I was. That's where it got to. And that's when the problem happens, that when I sought out God, I didn't find him. I didn't feel close to him. And that's a major problem, because when I had problems in my life that I faced that obviously basketball couldn't fix, I mean, basketball can't fix any of my problems. Really, it hasn't ever fixed a problem for me, but God has. And when I faced troubles and trials and all that stuff in my life, and I sought out God, and then I realized how far away I was, and that caused even more problems for me, like just in my mind, because I was just feeling, all of a sudden I just started feeling guilty, and I didn't want to play basketball at all. Oh, I'm going to quit. I can't have this. I'm not going to do that. And I just took it to the extreme. But I realized that it's okay to enjoy these things, but when the relationship, when it gets a hold on you so strong that when you seek the Lord and he's, and you don't feel close to him and you don't feel him and he's not answering, it's probably because I wasn't acknowledging God. I wasn't loving him with my whole heart, my mind, and my soul. And I didn't serve wholeheartedly and with a willing mind. If I had acknowledged God, served wholeheartedly, devotion, and with a willing mind, so when the Lord searched my heart and understood my motives and my thoughts, when I sought him, I would find him, that he wouldn't reject me because I forsaked him. And over the time, that's where I've gotten to, is realizing the things that are in between me and God. It hasn't always been just basketball. There's been other things in my life, but getting rid of those things and not forgetting about those things, realizing that they're okay, but when the relationship compares my relationship with God, that my relationship with God either needs to be boosted or that other thing needs to kind of be toned down. And I've realized now, I've read this verse a long time ago, this 1 Chronicles 28:9. I read that a while ago, and I kind of grasped an understanding for this a while ago. And when I realized this, and I started acknowledging God, and I started serving wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, and all these things that this verse says, things stopped getting in the way. That I was so focused when I was acknowledging God, so focused on him, when I went to serve him, when I went to put my hand to the plow, and I didn't look back because my focus was just on God, I was then fit for service for God. So when I went to go serve God, and because I was so focused on him, my service was good, and I realized the opportunities around me, and I saw the things going on, and I was able to do that. That things stopped getting in the way because I was so caught up in God, which is awesome. It's the thing that needs to happen, is when we just acknowledge God and just focus on him and serve him with all of our heart, that we wouldn't let anything else take hold of our heart, that we would completely dedicate ourselves, be devoted to him, and with a willing mind, that our mind would be doing his will, that whatever he says, we wouldn't just go do it, but be thinking, oh, I don't want it. What is this? This is dumb. I can't be doing this. No, that we would think, okay, Lord, that's what you want. I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do this with a willing mind, being willing to do anything that he asks. So that when he does search our hearts and sees the motives behind our thoughts and everything, that he would find it good and pure. So when we seek him, we would find him. And that he wouldn't reject us forever. Because, I mean, for me, people ask your greatest fear, and that'd be my greatest fear, is being rejected by God. That he wouldn't find me fit for service in his kingdom. So today I want to look at it, the place where God wants us to be with him at the end of this is that we would remove the things that are standing in the way. And once we remove those things, that we would completely acknowledge God, serve him with a wholehearted devotion and willing mind, so that things would stop getting in the way. That we would remove the problem and then put a block on it, that nothing would get in the way because we are doing these things. And that's where I want us to be this morning. That's where I want to be this morning at the end of this. I don't want anything to get in between me and God, so that my progression never stops, that I keep getting closer to God, that I keep hearing from him. So maybe right now you feel that there are things in the way of your relationship with God, that you have been seeking other things, you have given your heart away to other things, whether it be wealth or whether it be popularity or whether it be a girl or a guy, that you've given these things away, that I want to have some time coming up here where you can just remove those things. I'm just going to pray for you, and then if you feel led to find a place of prayer up at the front, you can come up to the front and you can just work it out with God. You can remove those things. But remember, once we remove these things, what to do afterwards to put that block so nothing else gets in the way. So I just want to pray with you, and then after I'm done praying, after I say amen, my dad will come up and take over. But if you feel led, come up and find a place of prayer where you can seek the Lord wholeheartedly and remove the things that are in between you and him, so that you can be closer and progress with God throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, that you would keep getting closer.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.